Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Homecoming, The Path to Prosperity in a Post-Global World is a political economy book by Rana Forohor, a Financial Times columnist and CNN global economic analyst. Published in 2022, it examines the breakdown of the hyperglobal economic model that shaped trade, finance, production, and corporate strategy from the late 20th century onward. Forohor argues that globalization delivered lower consumer prices and broad aggregate growth, but also weakened national resilience, widened inequality, detached capital from communities, and contributed to political backlash. The book is not an anti-trade manifesto. Its central purpose is to ask what kind of economic order can replace a system built around maximum efficiency, long supply chains, and the assumption that markets can allocate capital without regard to place. Forohor proposes a turn toward regionalization, more resilient production networks, renewed industrial policy, and a closer connection between prosperity, labor, democracy, and local capacity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the end of hyperglobalization as an economic operating system. A central argument of Homecoming is that globalization in its late 20th and early 21st century form has reached a structural limit. Forohor focuses on hyperglobalization, a model in which corporations optimized production across borders, capital moved quickly, and policymakers assumed that open markets would eventually distribute gains widely. Her critique is not that international exchange itself is obsolete, but that the dominant version of it treated efficiency as the highest economic value. That system lowered some costs, yet it also made many countries dependent on distant suppliers, exposed workers to wage pressure, and allowed capital to detach from the communities that generated social stability. The book places recent disruptions such as the COVID-19 pandemic, the war in Ukraine, and strained relations with China within a longer trajectory, rather than treating them as isolated shocks. They revealed vulnerabilities that had accumulated for decades. Forohor argues that the question is no longer whether the old model can be restored, but how governments and firms should manage a transition toward a less fragile order. This framing makes the book a diagnosis of system change rather than a narrow commentary on trade policy. Secondly, resilient supply chains over maximum efficiency. Forohor gives particular attention to supply chains because they make the abstract debate over globalization concrete. Under the old model, firms often pursued just-in-time production, low inventories, and specialized offshore sourcing. These choices made sense when transportation was cheap, geopolitical risk appeared manageable, and disruptions were treated as rare exceptions. Homecoming argues that this logic became dangerous once shocks became more frequent and politically consequential. A shortage of medical goods during the pandemic, energy insecurity after the invasion of Ukraine, and dependence on concentrated production hubs all showed that low prices can hide systemic risk. Forohor therefore distinguishes efficiency from resilience. Efficiency minimizes apparent cost under normal conditions, while resilience preserves capacity under stress. The book supports regionalization not simply as economic nationalism, but as a way to shorten supply chains, diversify production, agampize, and rebuild strategic capacity closer to consumers. The reasoning is practical. A society that cannot produce essential goods, maintain industrial know-how, or adapt quickly to disruption sacrifices more than convenience. It loses bargaining power, employment options, and policy autonomy. Thirdly, reconnecting place, work, and prosperity. One of the distinctive dimensions of Homecoming is its emphasis on place. Forohor argues that the global economy often measured success through aggregate growth, corporate profit, and consumer prices while ignoring the geographic distribution of opportunity. When factories moved, supply chains stretched, and financial returns flowed elsewhere, many communities were left with weaker tax bases, fewer stable jobs, and declining social institutions. The book links these local effects to broader political instability, including populist backlash and declining trust in elites. Its point is not that every old job can or should return, but that prosperity cannot be understood apart from the communities in which people live. Forohor presents regionalization as a way to rebuild the relationship between productive activity and civic life. Good jobs, local investment, skills formation, and industrial ecosystems are treated as foundations of social cohesion rather than secondary outcomes. This approach challenges a purely consumer-centered view of economics. Cheaper goods may benefit households, but they do not fully compensate for the loss of durable employment, bargaining power, and community wealth. The book, therefore, reframes economic policy as a place-based problem. Fourthly, a renewed role for industrial policy and democratic strategy. Homecoming places industrial policy back at the center of economic debate. Forohor argues that governments can no longer rely on market forces alone to secure essential production, technological leadership, or broad-based prosperity. The old neoliberal consensus often treated state intervention as distortionary. But the book contends that every major economy already makes strategic choices through infrastructure spending, tax rules, procurement, trade policy, education, and regulation. The issue is whether those choices are coherent and democratically accountable. Berhuhar sees renewed industrial policy as a response to supply chain fragility, climate transition, geopolitical rivalry, and regional inequality. This includes support for domestic or regional production in strategic sectors, investment in skills, and public-private coordination that does not simply subsidize incumbent corporate power. The democratic dimension matters because concentrated economic power can weaken political legitimacy. If deglobalization is managed only by large corporations or national security elites, it may reproduce inequality in a new form. The book, therefore, argues for a more intentional economic strategy that balances markets with public goals. Its policy orientation is reformist, not isolationist, and it treats economic structure as inseparable from democratic stability. Lastly, technology as both enabler of localization and new globalization. Berhuhar treats technology as a complicating force rather than a simple solution. On one hand, automation, advanced manufacturing, digital design, and improved logistics can make regional production more viable by reducing the importance of low-wage labor and allowing firms to produce closer to end markets. These tools support the case for localization because they can rebuild capacity without simply recreating the industrial economy of the past. On the other hand, the book recognizes that technology can generate new forms of globalization, especially in services and white-collar work. Remote work, digital platforms, and cross-border data flows may expose professional jobs to the same pressures that manufacturing workers previously experienced. This creates an important tension in the post-global argument. Goods trade may regionalize while services become more globally contestable. Berhuhar, therefore, avoids a simplistic return home narrative. The future economy will likely combine localized production, regional supply chains, and digitally mediated global competition. The practical implication is that workers and policymakers need strategies for skills, labor standards, data governance, and technological diffusion. Technology can support shared prosperity only if institutions shape how its gains are distributed. In conclusion, Homecoming is best suited for readers who want to understand why the global economic order feels unstable and what may come after it. Policymakers, business leaders, investors, journalists, economists, and engaged general readers will find it useful because it connects trade, supply chains, inequality, industrial policy, technology, and democracy in one framework. Its practical benefit is that it encourages readers to think beyond the simple choice between free trade and protectionism. Berhuhar asks how economies can preserve openness while reducing dependence, rebuilding regional capacity, and making prosperity more geographically inclusive. Intellectually, the book helps explain why shocks such as the pandemic and the war in Ukraine had such wide economic consequences. They expose design weaknesses in a system built for cheapness and speed rather than resilience. Compared with many books on globalization, Homecoming stands out for its synthesis of business journalism and political economy. It is less technical than an academic trade study, but broader than a policy brief on reshoring or tariffs. Its distinctive contribution is the insistence that place matters, production, work, community stability, and democratic legitimacy cannot be separated from trade architecture. And readers seeking a neutral defense of the old global order may disagree with its conclusions. But those interested in the emerging regionalized economy will find a clear and timely map of the debate. If you would like to support Reina Forhor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.